This is a spiritual reading being given for Eli Storgas on Saturday the 21st of September 2024 by John Rawson in Victoria, Australia. We stand within the hall of memory, and the book of the soul is given into our hands. And the book of the soul, Eli, is a metaphor. It represents all the incarnations which your soul has entered into since it first came into incarnation many, many hundreds of thousands of years ago. Now, the book has some particular characteristics that define or describe your soul. And each soul is actually different, and each soul entered into incarnation in the very first place with a different imprint upon it, which is why the destinies of souls are all different. We are unique, and we may go from one incarnation to another trying to recover that initial pattern, because when we do discover that template for our lives, then we enter into a much greater consciousness, and we begin to cooperate with our evolution, and so our spiritual processing, our spiritual development speeds up enormously. So let's look at the template of the soul. And the first thing that I would say is that the cover of the book is a deep red, but not deep in the painting sense. It's deep in the colour red that you see in the Australian or some regions of Australia, especially in the outback. Perhaps you could call it ochre, but I don't think that's quite right either. And sitting in the middle of this red, like an animal or creature sitting in the middle of the desert, is a very interesting animal. And I'm not sure whether such an animal has ever existed, but it is like a lizard with a long tail, and it has three eyes, and as I see it, it's looking outwards from a rock. So it's in the middle of the desert, it's looking over the desert, but not just with the physical, biological eyes, but also with a third eye, which is able to look into spirit. And that's a very interesting symbol, and it will have great repercussions throughout the millennia, because always your soul will be trying to recover this initial ability to look into spirit, and sometimes it achieves it and sometimes it doesn't. Let's hope that this is one of those lives when it does achieve that spiritual insight. Then the third attribute of the Book of the Soul is a name, and it's the name is not in English, but I'm going to translate the name into English, but it's an approximation of what the real soul name is. But the name, as I hear it, perceive it, is the watcher. But that has other ambiences to it. It's not just someone who looks looks around. It's someone who watches with a purpose, who gazes intently. So those three characteristics we will discover have followed your soul in its incarnations, and one of the understandings that we gain from this is that that symbol of the lizard is a very, very ancient symbol and indicates that your soul came into incarnation very early on in the what we would call the Lemurian period, and the experiences of this period are actually connected to what the Aboriginal peoples call the dream time. That is, the native peoples, the first peoples of Australia, had a clairvoyance, still have I guess, which could perceive back into prehistory, into a time when spiritual energies and spiritual entities were active in creating this world. And when when souls came into incarnation in the Lemurian period, which is probably where most of them did, they initially came into a water environment. And I won't go into the details of what we looked like then, but it was not at all the way we look now. But over thousands and thousands of years, those bodies that we had then, which were stationary, became able to move, and our souls, because our souls are always needing to move. That's why we need to evolve. We feel we've got to advance. And if we don't advance, we actually go backwards. Souls are always moving. So your soul, for example, took on, first of all, a plant body, and then it took on a body that was sort of like a fish, primitive fish. And then the fish, in the course of thousands of years, grew legs, and it came out of the water, and it evolved into this, well, I don't think this is a biological fact, so don't go running to Darwin, but over thousands and thousands of years, this walking fish, so to speak, evolved into this lizard. And what this particular lizard, this mammal did, was it retained its spiritual perception. So it could gaze, it could actually see the spiritual beings around it. Now, I've gone on into this in a lot of detail because that template of being able to see into spirit is going to express itself somehow, some way, in this incarnation. And when we look back at previous lives, we will see it manifesting over probably a lot of different past lives. I'm going to open the Book of the Soul, and it opens to this incarnation. And the soul portrays itself in different ways. And at the moment, it is portraying itself on the right as a coloured picture. And the colours are the colours of the aura. So I'm going to name them, starting from the most significant ones, the first two colours, and it works out. The aura, if you like, is like standing inside a sort of a transparent egg. It's filled with different colours, and And actually, normally speaking, the colours will vary from day to day or from minute to minute, depending upon what's happening in your life. But certain colours remain stable and only change over a longer period of time. So the first colour that we see is a light rose. And the second colour is orange. And I'm going to stop for a moment and make an observation that that's actually a very unusual combination of colours. Light rose is the colour of intuition and insight, of psychic or clairvoyant perception, and is connected with the third eye. That is, it has the, how can I put it? It gives you the potential to open your spiritual insight in this life. And the second colour, the orange, is quite different. Orange is almost a scientific colour. It's the colour of thinking, but not just abstract thinking, applied thinking. It makes for great scientists, not mathematicians so much, and abstract quantum physicists, etc., but people who apply thinking to real life situations. So, and by the way, scientists, really good scientists, have a very strong bump of intuition as well. So certainly I would encourage you to look at working in the field of science and technology, and especially in terms of research and applying research to practical situations. We'll come back to that. The third colour, green. Green is a connection with nature, so indicates that you would probably enjoy being out in the physical world, walking, hiking, doing outdoor trips, camping. I'm not sure about gardening, that's another green thing, but with the orange, it's not that you'd be a farmer exactly, but that you could cultivate things. And I think you said you were interested in mycology, which from my memory is to do with farming mushrooms or developing mushrooms. So yes, things to do with growing, but it's not a primary direction. Then there are browns around the hands and the feet, which are really good. Because brown is a practical colour, so that the having brown around the feet means that you can choose directions that are going to work for you. Although you've got a very strong spiritual element with that manifests from the soul, this is not going to take over the decision-making process. From the shoulders, purples. The purples are not really being used at the moment, and that may change in time to come. Within the head, light yellow with just a slight tint of brown. And yellow indicates thinking. If it's completely yellow, it's abstract thinking, it's things like philosophy or mathematics or logic. But when you have the little bit of brown in there, it means that you can think in a practical way as well, that you can take your thinking and ideas and concepts and relate them to the world in a practical and useful application. entering as the vortex, we see a very unusual colour. It's blue, but it's got sort of streaks of rose in it. I'll talk about that later. That the vortex, which you'll see on the aura chart, which Melody is creating for you, is the represents the spiritual energies that are entering into your consciousness presently, and will emerge and transform the thinking in the years to come. The cosmic colours, as we see them, above the head, a beautiful light purple, like a lilac colour, and below the feet, sort of a colour like an olive green. And the cosmic colours are not part of the aura, but they are energies given to us from spirit. And if we work with these energies, if we integrate them within our being, then in time to come they will become part of the aura. The symbol of the over-self, as we see it at present, and that changes from time to time, and the symbol is hovers about 4 inches above your head, 4 to 5 inches, and the symbol of the over-self is a communication from the real self, from the divine spark within. And as we perceive it, it indicates what's happening within the life, and sometimes indicates a way in which we can direct our energies. And the symbols we see it at present is a kangaroo sitting in the middle of a plain. And we'll come back to that.
Mm-hmm.
Desert field. I'm going to come back to the first colour, the light rose. Now, each of the colours is created through the experiences of specific lives. So when we look back at the lives that are connected to creating its colours, there are a number of lives that stand there before me. I think first of all I'm going to go to a life in the Renaissance, Italy, Genoa, about 1450, around about the mid 15th century. And here we see you in a male body, and we see you as an artist, Giovanni, something or other, can't perceive the surname. But there you painted portraits for wealthy patrons, and you did, you would go out and you would paint murals, I think that's the right word, in palaces and mansions of the rich people. And you had there a great sense of colour and of form. Now, I'm not sure whether you've ever tried painting this incarnation, but if you picked up a paintbrush or picked up some painting materials or some drawing materials, you might be surprised that there may well be still a talent there. But what that incarnation gives is a sense of perspective. And so you're able to look at life, you're able to stand back and try and get the perspective of a broader, wider view and vision. Incarnation in the 18th century, the 1770s, 1780s, thereabouts, you were in Australia then, in the body of a male once again, and you stood in what is now, I think, Parramatta, or Botany Bay as it was called then, and you watched in amazement as the first Europeans arrived. It's a bit of a sad incarnation, really, because you contracted an illness, probably smallpox by the looks of it, and died, in along with many others, by the way, many others of the tribe, the people. And so that your experience of the Europeans, or specifically the English, let's face it, was not very flattering. And that would mean to me that in this incarnation, you'd have an affinity, probably, with First Nations people, and you would want. And see, in this incarnation, you have the it's switched around. You're the one with the technology, and the thinking, and the technical understandings, and you want to take that, and you want to help it, take it to improve the lives of people. Incarnation again in Italy in the 11th century, again in a male body, and here you were a sort of a monk, but you lived on your own. You were a bit of a hermit. I don't think you'd want to be a hermit today. One lifetime like that is probably quite enough. But even though you were wearing the robe of a monk, the local people accused you of being a witch, strega, and they brought you before the bishop. And when you were brought before the bishop, you'd been living on your own for so long that you couldn't, you'd almost forgotten how to speak. And you, oh yes, you're in a really bad way mentally. And you, oh yes, well you, I'll just put it bluntly because there's no nice way to say this, you smell, you stank. You had lived in the midst of filth and everything, and so the bishop was not very impressed. He thought if you weren't a witch, at least you were certifiably insane. So he put you in a prison, a little hole below the ground, and he, after a few months or a few years, the bishop poisoned you with powdered glass. He was placed in some wine that you were allowed to have, and you drank it down, and you died. The glass cut the intestines and the stomach to shreds, and you died in agony, so a very painful way to die. Now, that would have a particular effect in this incarnation. First of all, it might just give you a distrust of Orthodox religion. You might say, no, I'm not going back there. It was a bad experience. I don't want to belong to a church again, or even a religious organization. So what that did is it increased your sense of individuality, and you are going to be stronger now in terms of discovering your own way, your own spiritual path. Incarnation in France in the 17th century, where you died in a duel, and that was interesting because the duel was against the person who'd been the bishop and killed you, and you were out for revenge, or you didn't know it, but you were out for revenge, and so you orchestrated this duel, but instead of the other guy getting killed, you got killed. And the soul got a bit of a shock from that. So the soul says, no, I'm not going to start this violence this time round, thanks. I'm going to let things take their course. We should go to the second colour, the colour orange, because it's a very strong colour in you. It's an interesting incarnation that seems to want to make its way out, and that's an incarnation where we see you as, I think, a woman, but you're a yogi in India, but near the Himalayas, perhaps where Kashmir, modern Kashmir, might be. And you, where is this time? About the 14th century, by the looks of it. And here, in this incarnation, you retreated from the world. I think it was after the incarnation where you were the hermit and were poisoned by the bishop. So you came back into incarnation quite quickly, because it's interesting, but murder is never karmic. You can't come in to be murdered. So when someone murders you, it's a whole new energy, karmic energy, that comes in. So that as a result of that incarnation, you went and you lived studying the tantric scriptures, and you were dedicated to the goddesses, the Dakini, and you were very clairvoyant in that incarnation. You had your spiritual perception wide open, and you could see the spiritual energies around you, and you could communicate with the spiritual entities. And sometimes these were very fearsome, but when they knew that you could see them, you were able to make friends with them, and instead of attacking, they became guardians. It's interesting that there are some of these beings, at least two, in your aura at present. And that connects you with Buddhism, with Tibet, with India, but more, it connects you with spirit. So it gives you the ability to communicate with spirit, and you are guarded, you're still guarded against negative entities. So you still have that relationship. Incarnation, I think in the first century in Palestine, and here we see you in a scene community, you knew John the Baptist in that incarnation because he used to come and visit the communities. He lived in the desert most of the time, as the New Testament tells us. But he would every so often visit one of the Essene communities where he had a connection, where he was welcomed and respected. And in the end, he took you with him. So you were there, present, at the Jordan, at the baptism of Jesus, when the Holy Spirit, in the form of a dove, came down from heaven. And it's interesting, that of course wasn't a literal thing, there wasn't a dove flapping its wings and flying into Jesus, but different people perceived the event differently. But because you'd been baptized by John, your clairvoyance was opened and you were able to perceive something descending into Jesus. And so when Jesus started his ministry, you had a connection there. It's interesting that although you were never a disciple of Jesus, after his death, you went to Damascus and you lived there for a while. You made tents. Huh, that's so funny. Because you knew the person we know as Saint Paul at that time. Now, when one comes into contact with a being like John the Baptist, or like Jesus, like Christ, like Paul, then something new enters into the consciousness of that person. And that's why there is so much orange in your aura. Orange is the colour of the philosopher, the thinker, the one that combines emotion with thinking, passionate about causes, and if they find a calling, then they'll be faithful to it throughout life. But it's interesting that it's also the colour connected with Christ, because it's the colour of the sun, and Christ is the force of evolution. Therefore, from incarnation to incarnation, your work as a soul is to be a leader in human evolution. And it doesn't mean that you go out and wave placards and become prime minister, or in fact stay away from politics. Politicians tend to mainly be, or politics is well behind human evolution. It's struggling to catch up. But what it means is that whatever you do, your work here is to create a greater consciousness within the world. And that really means creating a greater consciousness within people. Now, you are going through an interesting period in terms of work and career, and probably you've been considering and looking at career and work for the last couple of years at least. But things are coming to a climax soon. This is a good time to survey. It's not, you don't have to worry about finding the career. It's more about finding a way of life that works for you. And I mean that financially, and how it works in with your life, and the way you see your life developing. I wouldn't be in too much of a hurry to make career decisions right now, because the great opportunity and decision times are coming up in 2025, and there's a crux point, a crisis point, between April and May 2025 that won't be resolved until the period starts between September of 2025, and probably finishes, all comes together in January 2026. So we're looking at about a year and a quarter. Round about May 2025, there is actually a career opportunity. So I would keep my eyes open, keep my options open, and I would see what the universe is offering you between about April and June of next year, and all the things you've named you could do. The spiritual science, of course, is to do with the opening of the third eye, which is the soul gift, the opening of spiritual perception, farming, very connected with the greens in the aura, and teaching, yes, and I think you'll definitely be involved in teaching in this incarnation if you're not already, because you have the ability to communicate in clarity and to listen to other people. And teaching is as much about listening as it is about talking, isn't it? So that you have the ability to see where other people are at, and then communicate with them to give them what's needed at that point in time. The greens, as I've already said, are connected with farming, with the country, but also, interestingly, with music. Mm-hmm. And you'll make better use of the greens if you have music in your life, especially if you're participating, performing, singing, using the body, using rhythm. Those are all those sorts of activities also promote health within the body, because the body needs to move, needs to move around. Had an incarnation in China in the 5th century where you were a farmer, but you not quite sure what the term is. You were more like a feudal lord, because you owned all the farmland, and the and you employed, or the other farmers all worked for you. And so in that incarnation, all the dirty work, all the hard labour, that you could delegate that to other people. You were pretty successful too, by the way. You built them, I wouldn't call it a business, but your farms did very well. And you had a penchant for study in that incarnation. So you would study what we would call now astrology, the movements of the stars, and you'd make medicines. And you wrote poems. As I see, you're quite a small person, yellow face, neat, pointed black beard, hat on your head that I can't describe, perhaps like a Chinese mandarin, and you're very active, and you that's why you do so well with the farms, because you're always out there supervising and directing and giving information. Because of your reading, you would sometimes come up with ideas to try that were successful. Bit of a shame, really, because there was an invasion by another tribe, another people, and it went right past your land that you owned, that you farmed, and took off the northern corner and killed some of the farmers. And you went out to protest, and for your pains you were stabbed to death. So I think you'd be probably pretty careful about antagonizing people in this incarnation, especially group consciousness. You don't want to have a go at a group consciousness. It's very aggressive sometimes. The purples from the shoulders. A purple is the colour of the mediator. And as I've said earlier, the purple's not really active at present. It's a bit dull. And if you start working in terms of mediating, talking, counselling, advising, listening, facilitating, all these sorts of things, that will develop the purples. They become stronger. And when you work on one colour, then it gives back to you, so that the more you work with it, the better the mediator aspect is. Interesting incarnation about 1917, 1918. In Hungary, you were a translator there, translated for, I think, German troops, and you were very clever in that incarnation. You could speak quite a number of languages, and when the Germans left, the other Europeans moved in, there was a group of English there, you would translate for them as well. Apparently Hungarian is quite a difficult language to learn, so I take my hat off to you. But you were very good at explaining and going between one and the other, and you actually translated books from Hungarian into English in the 1920s or thereabouts. Incarnation in America, the USA, in Milwaukee, in the country actually, you were a preacher. Now, this is in the 19th century, you need to know that. You were a preacher, and you were a Baptist preacher. So you were pretty straightforward and straight arrow. Had a little church in the middle of nowhere, really. And you were very strict with your parishioners. They had to toe the line or else there'd be a hellfire sermon coming up. But again, very good communicator in that incarnation. Now, I have to say that the basic colour, or basic energy of the colour purple, is that of the priest. And this colour came into your aura about 2,000 years before Christ, BCE. And here we see you in the temples in Egypt. You're in a male body again. And we have here, you're very high up in the priesthood. In the temple of Horus, I think it was. You had a lot to do there with the funeral rites, especially for the pharaohs, and the rites of passage for the pharaohs. And also, you had the ability there to perceive the soul after it left the physical body, so that you could be with it during its passage into the next life. Ah, well, you were supposed to be celibate in that incarnation, which was unusual because most of the Egyptian priesthood were married, but you had taken the special vow, celibacy, and of course you fell in love, didn't you? And you had sex with this person, and when that happened, you lost your clairvoyance. Which isn't to say that you shouldn't have sex if you want to be clairvoyant in this life. This is 4,500 years ago, and things change. But here you lost it, and you were so distraught, you walked out into the desert and you never came back, so you died there in the desert. But it's interesting because when you died in the desert, that purified the karma that you had incurred from breaking the vow of celibacy. The yellow browns inside the head, as I've said, very good for thinking, for understanding, for communication. Incarnation about the 6th or 7th century in Arabia, where you were a merchant and you have an instrument that looks to me like an abacus in front of you, and you would work totals using the beads on this frame. You would travel a lot in that incarnation. In fact, you traveled to China at one stage, which is a long way. You traveled to India, you traveled to China, and you loved exploration. You had a very strong imperative to travel and to journey and to bring back knowledge from different cultures. And again, I think what that means, Eli, is that you can connect there with creating a business, creating an enterprise, analyzing, understanding. Probably got itchy feet with all that green there, but the time for movement will come. But I don't see that as happening in the next few years. The cosmic colours, the olive green below the feet, represents the need to make considered movement in life. So you're doing the right thing, you're looking at options. But the green light, literally the green light, is not there yet. It's sort of on scout the terrain, so to speak, explore the possibilities. The colour above the head, light lilac. Well, that's an interesting colour because it indicates a period of greater greater sensitivity and greater how can I put it? Yeah, sensitivity to the needs of other people and possibly working, coordinating other people in their lives and advising, consulting. The vortex that's coming into the head is very interesting because it's got a very strong blue in it and a sort of a spiral of light rose woven into there. And blue indicates a new spiritual energy entering in over the next 5 to 7 years. Now, you're at a very interesting point in life, 39 years of age at the moment. You're coming into that time that astrologers like to call the Uranus return, which is where you'll get challenged much more. And for you, that's happening later. It's happening in the late 2020s, about 29, 30. And coming, when you enter into that period, that's when you're going to make some major decisions in life. You're going to find that life is make or break, and that it's the time to explore anything that you've left unexplored in your life so far. Sometimes we call it the second teens, because the world opens up and you get a chance to change decisions or situations that you created previously and which you're unhappy with. So that's coming up in the between now and the end of this decade. The on the left-hand side of the Book of the Soul, is sometimes an indication of the purpose in one's life. And here there is the title of something, and it's called we'll call it the perceiver, the one who perceives. And it indicates to me that the purpose of this incarnation is to perceive and to open up your inner vision so it becomes much stronger, more reliable, and connects you once again with the spiritual worlds. Life begins at 50. I know they say life begins at 40, but really life begins at 50, because until you reach the age of 49, you're repaying the karma that you had decided to rebalance before you came into incarnation. And when you get to the age of 49, you've completed all the lists, all the tasks on your list. And there will be a moment of pause, a moment of a time of transition. And it's when you get to that point that so much of what you've done in the next 10 years, really, will make sense. And I think what I would say to you is give yourself experiences, explore, listen to life, perceive what people are saying to you and how they experience you, accept the love that surrounds you at times, and the beauty and joy that other people bring into your life. When you can live life like that, then a richness enters in. And after when you reach the age of 50, then you in your turn become the elder, the advisor, the one who gives compassion, and the one who with clear sight can show others the way. The symbol of the overself, as we see it at present, is a kangaroo. And that's interesting, really. That's a transition symbol, because kangaroos are always hopping around. They don't stay in one place very long. So it indicates that you've got an energy to go somewhere, to make a jump, to make a leap. But you could go in any direction. Kangaroos can be quite unpredictable. I suppose they can't leap backwards, at least. At least you know you're going to go forwards. And it will be a leap. It might be a small leap, it might be a hop. But you will make a jump in the next couple of years. Probably decision points coming up about the middle of 2020. Just be ready to make that leap. 2025, just gone back in time. Sorry, the crisis point comes in 2025, so just be ready for that. When it comes, it'll be a short time of opportunity, so you want to grab that. And then if you grab the opportunity, the next year and into 2026 starts to unfold and manifest in terms of career and work. And also health, by the way. It's a time to revise health routines and to check your diet. The task of being the watcher or the perceiver is one that brings with it great responsibility, Because perception in this case is linked to action. And when you see a need, you're going to want to take action. So you see, you act, and there's a link between the two. And as I've said, this is the time of life to experience, and to experience as much as you can. To experience different ways of thought, to experience different environments, to experience different aspects of communication, to experience different spiritualities even. Because by the time you come to about the age of 50, that blue that I see, that spiritual energy, that almost mystical consciousness that is beginning to engage, that will be fully engaged. And that's the time when the light that was outside becomes the light inside. And when we have the light inside us, it lights us up. And because it lights us up, we become also the light of the world. And in so doing, you would take your soul purpose, and through the light that you bring, you will be moving human evolution on just a little bit, person by person. And that would be a great task. So shall it be.